What is going on, everybody? Sorry we have not been here for a little bit, but welcome back to the Well-Rounded Wealth Podcast, episode 34. Jack, how are we doing?
Patrick, we're doing well. This marks about almost a week ago. I've been in Atlanta for a year now. I hit a year down here.
Oh, shit.
He
grew up.
I know. I survived. If you listen to those episodes when I first got here, just know that that was a man who was worried about survival.
It would be great. Yeah. For everyone who's tuned back in, see a timeline of Jack. It's like, Jack had a job at a restaurant, different job back at the restaurant, different job while working at the restaurant, new job acting back at a restaurant.
It has been absolutely insane. Yeah. Right now I still got my job from the last episode we did. Working in HR, but I am picking up shifts at the restaurant every once in a while on the weekends. I'm going in this Friday to do a quick shift just to make some side money. So yeah, still doing that, still acting. And I'm moving in a week. A lot's going on. we're moving units. So we're still in the same apartment complex. We found a new unit, slightly smaller than this one, but it's way cheaper in rent. So we are taking advantage of that.
There we go. All right. What are we talking about today? I think it's a great topic. So,
yeah. So in light of all that's going on, I've been struggling a lot with balancing both my priorities and balancing different things that are important going on in my life, not being able to be present when I'm doing things. Like if I'm at work, sometimes I'm thinking about other things like acting stuff or not being present in the moment. Sometimes when I'm in acting class, I'm thinking about what I got going on at work next week. And I feel like I need to take a step back and focus up and just kind of screw my head back on. And I was hoping this episode you could help me out with.
I'm right there with you. I have taken the past 2 days kind of and reflected on the exact same things, because I feel like this is definitely an issue for ambitious type A people. Is you have a lot you want to do and you desire to do, and then it continues to pile up, and then you, like you said, your head screws off and it starts rolling and you start running after it. Like, come back, baby. Like, I need you.
Yeah. God, that was music to my ears. Sometimes I have so many ideas or so many things that I want to do that I just start thinking about how I should do all of these things. And then I get overwhelmed and end up doing like none of those things.
You get so many things on your plate that you can't be productive at one thing because you're trying to be productive at everything.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before, especially with presence definitely. Too. And I think it's just having a constant reminder of that is so important, because I do the same thing. And I'm reflecting and looking back on times when I was the most productive, focusing on one thing specifically. And it was when I just focused on one big overarching goal specifically. And whatever that was, there is a disconnect between where you are and where you want to be. So you might not have the complete ability to be present, but you're not pulled aside by a million different things or a million different obligations. And I think the best word that helps in that situation is, and what I mean by that is saying no to other things.
Yeah. That was
damn. Yep. Yep.
You are very correct. I think I am most successful when I am able to just hone in on one thing. For example, starting up this podcast, like way back to the beginning when we were coming up with this, the project kind of had my undivided attention to get this thing up and running. I had a class too, but I was phoning it in. Like it wasn't hard. So I didn't care. And I like was able to get the job done there. So I was focused on getting this podcast up and running. I was like figuring out what the hell an RSS feed is, figuring out how you actually distribute this through streaming platforms like Spotify and the Apple Podcasts. And then we got it off the ground. We're not, you know, we're not like the next Joe Rogan by any means, but we have a podcast. We have a podcast that releases episodes and people can listen to it. And that was because I wasn't, you know, constantly thinking about so many different things. Right now, I like, there are things that I want to do to improve my acting career. Right now I'm in a class, and that class is very challenging in and of itself, but it's very unique, so I'm learning a lot. But I also like, yeah, I have this scene, for example, and I've done one monologue that I've filmed and gotten on tape. There's another scene, and I like really want to get it on film to help with to build more of a reel. And I literally have the dialogue memorized. Not all of my blocking is quite there. And I have kept saying that I am going to film this scene probably for about 5 or 6 weeks now. And I was like, oh, well, I'll do it on this thing. And it's like, it's not even a pushing it back because I'm being lazy, but like, I'm like, oh, well, I just started my new job. So I'm going to focus on this new job right now. And then I'll get back to the acting thing. And then the next second week of the job is like, all right, I'm still kind of figuring this out. So I'm just going to focus on this now and calm down. And then third week of the job, oh, well, I just got all of my IT access. So I just got a whole new Leo of responsibility. So my focus needs to be here at this job. And I guess it is kind of doing excuses to not do that. But I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm just being a bitch and just coming up with excuses, but like, I can't hone in on it. And it's what I really want to be honing in on. But then every time I start thinking about that, I'm like at work, I'm thinking, oh, well, I don't want to fall behind on this, this, and this. And I'm a contract worker right now. So I want to be impressive. I want to be a good worker because I mean, they are kind of like looking at me like, yeah, do we want to keep this guy around? Cause I'm not a permanent employee at the moment. So,
yeah. And
yeah,
that brain capacity that gets taken up when you think of something that you need to do, but you don't do it. And it's a term we've used, and Chris Williamson said this, is anxiety cost. It's the cost of, all right, if I don't do this right now, even though I know I need to do it, then later on in the day or the week or the month, how much energy is that taking up of my time just thinking about something I should do instead of just going and doing it? And it's such a good reminder frame. Like I had that, like laying in bed, it's like, you know, I'm a little tired, but if I don't do this now, I'm going to wake up and think about it. And then gotcha, I know there's something else I need to do after I wake up, so it's going to get delayed and I'm going to think about it more in 2 days. And I'm like, God damn it. So it's like, especially if it's something that takes under 10 minutes, just knock it out, because then yeah, it's done. You don't have to think about it. And it might save you 30 minutes thinking about it, because when you're thinking about something else and then trying to do something in currently, your brain is that thing that you should have done that you didn't do is taking up time and focus and attention in the thing that you are doing currently.
Yeah. And that bleeds over to little things too, like doing your laundry and folding your laundry and running the dishwasher and cleaning up after yourself, cleaning your bathroom, cleaning your toilet. Mm-hmm. That also, whenever I get behind on those things and push that back, I know I'm like not doing great in general.
Yep. I did that this weekend too.
Yeah. Right. Right. Even those small little things that are somewhat inconsequential, at least in your head, they are consequential. Those little things, those little inconveniences, like having a whole pile of laundry that you got to take care of that's just sitting there, or having your dirty clothes hamper overflowing because you should have done laundry a week ago. But then the worst is if you ever get behind. I'm actually doing okay on laundry right now because we're prepping for the move. I've been doing all right with that.
Jack's got clean underwear more.
Yeah, I'm wearing clean undies at the
down his last.
But time, but, you know. But have you ever? This happened to me back in college. Sometimes, like my hamper would just get so overflow with dirty clothes, and I'm like, oh well, if I do laundry now, I'm gonna have to do multiple loads. So then I just don't do it longer.
Instead, I could just recycle the stuff from the bottom because it might not smell as bad. So I was like, What's the thing? Like germs only last for 72 hours or something?
Yeah, and then it would get to the point where it's like I literally was out of options for clothes to wear, and then I would do all of the laundry at once. And then it should have been separate loads, but I made it all one load, so like barely fit in the washing machine. And then drying, I always had to like do like 3 hours because there was so much clothes.
You get like half clean, it's like, it still kind of smells, but I guess
yeah. Last enough. But I don't do that anymore. That was College Jack. And College Jack, he was a very fun guy, but he didn't do everything right. So I'm at least self-aware of that.
He had different priorities.
He did.
Speaking of that, I think it'd be an awesome exercise to go through. I've kind of done it, but we can do it live here. Is go through like a no audit. Like what is going on in my life? Like what do I need to focus on? What do other people or other parts of my life I want to focus on? And then what are the things I have to say no to just because I know I need to focus? And maybe like I can give you an example. Like one thing I haven't gone out in probably, 2 months or really hung out with friends in like 2 months just because I'm like, I'll see you at the gym and then like, maybe talk to you a little bit after that. But I have too much going out. Would cause too much anxiety cost to build up in the back of my head.
I see. That makes sense. I kind of am also like coming off of a lot of celebrating and leisure because I took my vacation at the beach with my family. And that was kind of like, it was also just like, I did it. I made a month, was able to take work off. And then was able to pick up shifts at the restaurant to make up for that. So I just was able to relax, hang out, like swim, go to the beach and drink and play games. And it was great, relaxing. But dude, the second I got home back to this apartment from that trip, I was like, my anxiety, I think it was like almost an anxiety attack. It wasn't, I wasn't like hyperventilating or struggling to breathe or anything like that, but I did just get this pit in my stomach and was just overwhelmed. And I remember this thought I had. I said, I just lost a week. Well, there are 3 or 4 days because I did work from home Thursday, Friday, but I was like freaking myself out and almost mentally punishing myself for enjoying a trip with the people I care about, which I was like, that's bad. I'm allowed to enjoy a trip with my friends and family. But I was also like, I feel like I'm behind. I always feel like in my head that there's like another guy named like Zach Mulligan who has all of the same goals that I do and dude, also is trying to be an actor. And I'm like Zach Mulligan probably just filmed that monologue and he probably just compiled his reel and he probably just got the agent that I could have gotten if I didn't take the week off like that. That's literally like what my anxiety.
And that's that exact, thought that those type A high achiever players have. I think you probably detailed it perfectly that other people think that's the same thought process other people have. Cause I mean, I have it too. I'm that is probably, if you want to call it a red flag or like biggest thing that I'm terrible at, and it sounds like I'm not the only one, is being able to relax and enjoy a vacation.
Yeah.
Like, I can't deserve this until I, do X.
Right. Cause you're in the weeds right now of trying to get somewhere. And when you're not life, taking a time for just leisure and pleasure, like a vacation, just a fun trip where you're not working towards that place that you want to be that you're not at currently, I think it just like started to fuck with me a little bit because I'm like, no, you haven't earned this trip yet. You still have a lot of stuff you got to do. So you shouldn't be here just yet right now. But at the same time, life is also short. Like, anything can happen. It was also great to like spend time with the people that I care about, which is like also what life is all about anyways. But then it's like trying to find the balance of like having that value and that ideal of valuing the time with the people you care about and knowing at the end of the day, that's more important than anything. But then also not settling for where you are and wanting to still thrive and push and go for your goals. That's been really, really challenging for me right now. My first 8, 9, 10 months of living here, it was all about the grind and trying to be somewhere I'm not. I picked up this temp job and I realized I'm tired. I have not enjoyed where I've been for the past 9-10 months. I just want to try to enjoy where I'm at for a bit too and just relax. But now that I've been doing that, I've been kind of mad at myself for doing that slightly too. Cause I'm like, well, hang on. If you keep,
it's such a challenge because it's a dichotomy we have to manage. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, just feeling good at one place in time. And if you look on it, like kind of this arc, I'd say death is, you know, something we've talked about, but something like I think about a ton, because I think everyone has that kind of mindset, or certain high achievers have that mindset where it's like, I have such a big gap between where I am and where I want to be. And in order to get to where I want to be, regardless of where you're coming from, if you're coming from a place of peace of where you are and you're choosing that, dissatisfaction with where you are until you get to where you want to be, mm-hmm. or you're just, you know, I have to get there because there's still always going to be this struggle between I need to get there. And if I don't get there by, let's call it death in a very long time horizon, then I'm going to be unhappy. However, if I die in a week and I don't go enjoy the opportunities that I had, I'm also going to be unhappy. So it's how do I measure my timeline is the ultimate question that we're asking there. And where in that timeline do I have periods of sacrifice versus periods of enjoyment? Because going to the pool, spending time with the people you enjoy being around, going on vacations, that typically brings enjoyment. However, you also have the requirement to sacrifice and struggle in achieving your goal. And I think the only way to bring enjoyment to that is being present in the journey, which is extremely hard to do.
Yeah.
Because you have to fall in love with the work that you're doing. And everyone talks about, oh, follow your passion, or if you never work a day in your life if you love what you're doing.
Established that that's not true.
I think it's true. It just takes a lot of time to find.
And but you're still working.
Yeah. Yes. Like
some people take that and they're like, oh, like I want to do this because if I do that, I don't have to work as hard, or like I can get around things. You know, no matter, even if it's your dream. And I think, I've met some actors who I think they got a future ahead of them. Met a few that I don't know. I don't know if they have that mindset. They don't understand that. Sometimes I feel like they're acting so they can like just make a lot of money and be famous. They don't understand that, like, no, you have to work really hard at this. They're not taking a casual path because they think that path is like the boring, the work stuff. They almost see this as a way like around it. Oh, well, if I'm just acting, having a good time, I don't really have to work that hard. But the truth is, if you're picking acting as your path and you want to find success in it, you probably need to be working harder.
Yep. It's a tough thing to balance. I mean, people who say that just define, say that if you ever if you'll never work a day in your life if you love what you do, they just define work differently. They just define an activity that they enjoy that people see value, that provides value to other people, and they get compensated for it. So there is that struggle where you might have found your quote unquote passion, and I think everyone can kind of find their passion, or a passion can develop by getting good at something. Mm-hmm. The better you are, the more you enjoy it. So there is the unfortunate circumstance, like take a ballet dancer. We talked about that before, is they don't get paid for shit.
Right. However,
about like people who are dancers might love ballet. So they'll do everything they can in order to practice or perform, even though value wise, they're not compensated a lot for it.
Right.
So they might have to do the situation where they're driving Uber or they're working in restaurant shifts in order for all that capital, all those resources to go towards being able to perform or practice. So, yeah. But so question for you, what are the things in your life that are pulling your attention away from what you want to do. And I think the easiest way to go about that is, what are the things you're going to say no to in order to focus on the one thing that matters the most?
So I would say one of my biggest concerns, and it's if I get a offer to work there situation, I really don't know what I would do or say. One, I get paid a little bit more if that happens, and I would like to make more than I'm currently making. So there's that. But then there's also, I do like this temporary idea because I'm kind of in a position now where, like, let's say my acting career keeps going forward and forward, and I could audition for things. And maybe if I get something, but it's just like a commercial that shoots for a couple of days, I can go do that commercial in my situation right now. If I was permanent and I'm taking last minute PTO and I'm working at a professional corporation with a professional job, that starts to get a little more muddy. And the last thing I want to do, no matter what I'm doing, even though like this HR offboarding position, it's not my passion, but I want to do really well at it. And I want to give the people that I'm working for and with my respect and my time and attention. No matter what it is, I care about doing that. So here I am, I guess anxiety mind, thinking down the line, like, what if a conflict comes up?
And what's the most important thing to you?
Acting.
Okay. So optimize everything around that. Everything else is survival or a distraction. So your job at this point is probably more in the bucket of survival. So what's the bare minimum? And I'm not saying like don't do good work. Mm-hmm. I'm saying what is the bare minimum commitment you have to make in order to, one, have enough energy and time to commit to acting, and two, not get fired.
Yeah. And also the issue is, one thing that I'm learning real quick about being at kind of the bottom of a corporate ladder of some sorts, there's also that competitive nature of me where I'm like, I want this conversion offer and then I want a promotion because I know I'm good and I can do better and I can work harder and get better. So like, I also already have that enticement of knowing like, God, I can do well. I can do really well here. And I also want to, and no matter what, I'm going to keep working really hard when I'm on the clock because they're paying me to do that. But yeah, I do. There is also that temptation of like, no, like I know if I put in the work and I network more and talk to people and get to know people and get even better at the job, I can like get that conversion offer. Maybe I can then get a promotion, or maybe I could find another field of the company that intrigues me. And I feel like I just know I could do well. So it's kind of, yep. You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, even though it's not my end goal, that competitive nature is taking over, that like, I don't want to not do well. Cause I'm not a loser.
You know, you can beat other people at their own game. So I'll explain it. Something simpler is like, I've been like, ran Ironmans and, did endurance races. I know I have friends or like people I know that are also like starting that journey. And in the back of my head, this might be a testosterone thing, a masculine thing, I don't know. But In the back of my head, I'm like, oh, that's great for you. I know I can beat you. It's just like how my brain works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by doing that, if I was to go down that path, I would start playing the wrong game that I don't want to play. Like my focus right now is like growing my business. Like that is what I want to focus on. So if growing the business is path one, yet path two I know I can win at, then even if I win path two, guess how far off of path one you are. It's like you had to spend, you know, weeks, months, hours, whatever it was, in order to win path two, and now you're like, oh, now what do I want to do? Because I won. So it's like, ha, I beat you.
Right.
And now I look back and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I didn't progress anywhere path one. I just went way off to the right. So like, for you, you want to be an actor. If you go up, start climbing the corporate ladder, you could look back in 2 years and be like, shit, I'm in the same place as I was acting. I didn't get like many new roles, or I didn't like increase in the importance of my roles.
Didn't excel in the career path
that I don't really want. And that's when they kind of start to, that's what I think the golden handcuffs are, is, or another facet of it is you start doing a job, you start getting paid more, you start upgrading your lifestyle, and then you're already a snowball that's rolling down a hill in this right. path, and you're like, fuck, I can't stop. So
right, because you're like,
go backwards,
because when you upgrade your lifestyle, you then you get even more tied to that position that you have, because without it you can no longer sustain that lifestyle.
Yep. And I don't think it even just applies to lifestyle too. I think it applies to the people you're around.
Okay.
And what I mean by this is, like, one of the things we said in one of the prior episodes was achieving your goals, the hardest part isn't going to be what you have to sacrifice, but it's who you have to leave behind and mm-hmm. like who you have to sacrifice. And that's something I've kind of started to consciously do. Like, I know that I will have people that are in my life or sort of in my life right now, or were in my life. And I'm like, this season with you has been great, but I don't see you in my future. And it sucks. I feel really awkward doing it. I don't know if it's right. But I do know that my time and my attention is two of the most expensive thing or valuable resources I have. So if I want to spend those wisely, I have to be able to say no or cut certain things out.
I get that. I do get that. Wait, so you'll flat out say it. You're not a ghoster. You're like, hey, it's nice. You're a great person, best of luck, but I don't see myself hanging out with you anymore.
No. I'll say the example, because I did it recently. I mean, unless they ask, like my old roommate, he texted me the other week. He was like, oh, hey, I saw you walking along. Like, wanted to catch up. Like, I was just busy at the time, so I couldn't answer his phone call. Mm-hmm. And then he asked if he wanted to grab lunch, and I was like, look, appreciate the invite, I just can't until I do XYZ. Like, until I finish this, yeah. I'm not gonna go out and hang out with other people. And you know, people have to respect that decision of yours. Like, if they start complaining or ask for why, then you tell them why. But
yeah, that I think there's,
and I guess it's kind of the overarching thing of being like, hey, right now, over the next 3 months, I have this thing. And then guess what? I'm probably going to have another thing after that thing's completed. And eventually they'll kind of just start fading out of your life. At least that's my strategy.
Yeah.
So if he asked, if someone were to ask me like, hey, like, I haven't seen you in a while, then I'd probably be like, hey, don't take this the wrong way at all, but this is where I'm going. If you ever need anything super important, let me know. But I don't have the time. Or you just don't fit into my plan right now. So
yeah, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just tough. Like, not, I'm definitely saying this more nonchalant than it is, but like, you kind of get that sense of guilt, like, ugh, because no one wants to be disliked by anyone else.
Yeah.
And like, that inherently is just gonna be like, ah, crap. Like, for the other person, it's gonna be like, oh, what did I do wrong? It's like, nothing. It's just, it's okay that timing doesn't work out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I will say, when it comes to making plans, I'd love to, but I can't. I'm busy. I think that's a fair excuse. If someone makes that to me, say, hey, I got this thing, I got some stuff going on, I really need to focus on doing stuff. Understand.
I think the hardest challenge with that is FOMO, too.
Oh my God. When I know people doing things and I'm welcome to be there.
It's tough. It's really tough. And I think it exposes, or not exposes, but reveals your true friends, is if you have to say like, hey, for the next 3 months or 6 months, because that's a reality. It's not like school anymore where you can just say like, I need to take this weekend and knock this project out. It's like, if I really want to make progress towards my overarching goals, like, I need to I need to say, like, hey, I need these next 3 months or 6 months, and you're probably not going to see me. And if someone is rooting for you then that's a true friend.
Yeah.
Great. I think I heard this on a speech. Simon Sinek. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's got this great thing. Like most people, or the quote is, your true friends come out when like stuff goes bad. And he was like, I actually don't think that's true. I think it's your true friends come out when you go to them to celebrate, because it's the people who are rooting for you or excited for your wins.
Yeah.
So
I couldn't agree with that more. I feel like we've talked about that before too, but
yeah. All right. Going back to your audit, your priority audit. So what are the things you think that you need to cut out and say no to?
You know, weirdly enough, not much. Because I'll explain why. I'm not hanging out with that many people. I did just get back from Nashville, where I visited an old friend from college. However, that was, in my opinion, worth it. I value his friendship, and we had a ton of fun. Had the anxiety thing when I woke up this morning. Was like, oh my God, I got to drive home to Atlanta. And I'm moving in a week, and I could have spent this weekend getting ahead on that and getting prepping for the move, but instead I was here in Nashville. I need to chill with that a little bit. It's okay that I went to go visit a friend that I care about maintaining a friendship with and having some fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think things to come.
And maybe it's not even just physical things, but things that are occupying your headspace.
That's a very good point. Because a lot of things do occupy my headspace. One, I really want to, I also have this desire to meet more people and make new friends and go on dates, but I really don't know if I have the time to do that and to properly and develop new relationships. I struggle to talk to my close friends and family as it is. But I do have this pool to just want to meet more people. Just want to find my people again. You know, down here in Atlanta, I haven't really found my people. And life is great when you have your people, man. And I still have them, but not, you know.
They're not local.
Yeah, exactly. And like Cole's my guy. Cole's one of my best friends. But like, still, like we just don't have like a group. Like,
yeah.
You know, the only group chats I'm still in is our high school ones and our high school fantasy football. That's it, pretty much. Yeah. They're decently active. That's it.
I was thinking about this the other day too. Like, I would, as cringy as like the YouTube or influencer houses were, I would love to have one for like just people that go and like friends that go and like grind together, because that would make it so much more enjoyable.
Oh my God, it really would.
Like, I was talking to my buddy up in New York. I've told him several times, like, hey, I have an extra room. You're welcome to come down here and just work with me. Like, we're going to get up, we're going to work out, and we're going to work. Like, that's it. Like, I would love to do that. And I mean, I've considered it a few times. I've even talked to Cole about it. Like, if that were to happen, I think it would make the mundane and the monotony of like doing the boring work so much more fun, because you know, you can wake up and at least have someone
that's
go out
on your page.
Yeah.
And it keeps you disciplined as well, having that influence with other people. I've fallen off the workout grind recently. And again, it's because, well, I started this new job and figured out schedule. Now I'm at the point where I'm just making excuses and I need to get back at it.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens, especially when you're alone.
That's how I think it would be awesome to get like a group of five guys and do it, you know, rent like a little bigger house and just like...
Well, you want to know something? There kind of is what you're describing. When I lived in LA through my college program junior year, we had like a shared living space, and it makes rent really cheap, but we kept saying, we're like, I feel like we're living in like a TikTok hype house, because it was just like it was like this really nice huge apartments, and they had like four stories, and like the first two were just like bedrooms and like eight bedrooms. You can do more. You can like do two people to a room and make it 16. and then like a huge living room and kitchen. It was, you could literally do what you describe.
Yeah. I think that's
cheap way
yeah.
to pay rent too.
You even look at like successful people that had, you know, that went far with others. Take Elon Musk, for example.
Yeah.
His whole, the PayPal crew, there's like 16 of them and they all work together.
Yeah.
Or like Zuckerberg, like in Harvard in his dorm room, he had three of the people he started it with right there. And yeah. it's like, if you guys are all on the same journey or a similar one, then great.
Similar page.
If anyone's listening to this and think they have very similar mindsets or want to achieve similar goals and wants to get a house with five guys and just send it, let us know. Or yeah. girls, I guess, we're not discriminating.
we'll let it slide.
just
we'll be willing to make some adjustments.
Just put your times on the bathroom so we know it's off limit for showering and makeup and whatnot.
Yeah, I do want to tell you this story real quick. Speaking of girls, last night in Nashville, there was female singers have a spell on me. I don't know what it is. If you are a woman with a beautiful voice, I will fall in love with you. That's just how I operate.
The sirens.
And there was, at one of the bars we were at in Nashville, there was a girl and she was incredible. She was really good. Objectively, really good and really talented. She was just rocking an acoustic guitar. She was really good at the guitar. She was a really talented player, had the most beautiful voice. And my friend Jack St. Pierre, he goes, dude, you look like you're in a fucking trance.
Hey, that's not presence. I don't know.
And I was like, I was under a spell. And my friend St. Pierre goes, you have to go talk to her. And I was like, dude, no, she's performing. Like, what, are you crazy? And he's like, dude, like, you don't. He's like, you don't have to go hit on her. He's like, I agree, that's not a great idea. But you need to ask her if she has a Spotify or anything because you think she's really talented. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then literally she finished a song and she didn't even stop playing guitar. The next song started. And St. Pierre was like, you should have gone. I was like, dude, there was no time. I would have like disrupted her set. And he's like, all right, fair enough. And he goes, all right, look, if you don't go up there in the next 5 minutes, I will. Because I also think she's very talented.
I love that.
And he goes, so I really think you should go and talk to her. And I was like, all right. And I did. She took a little water break and I went up to her. Awesome. Yeah, I didn't like hit on her or anything, but I did. I was like, hey, do you have a Spotify? Like, you've been really good. You're incredibly talented. And she was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, this is it. And like, I typed the name of the phone. I was like, great. I'll give you a follow. Seriously. Like, I absolutely love the performance. You're killing it. And she was like, thank you so much. She's like, do you have any requests? You and your friend, any song requests?
Yeah, your number.
No. And then we were literally, it actually was getting to the point. Like, we were about to leave the bar. So I couldn't think of a song. And I was like, no, you've been killing it with your own set list. No, all good. And she was like, oh, okay. Like, she's like, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I was like, yeah, no, totally. Like, have a great night. It was really normal.
Missed opportunity.
It was no. I could have made a harder move. Maybe I could have made a harder move.
Just be like, I gotta go, but you know, here's my number.
I should have or something. Just to do it. But I did do it and it was very normal. I was like, literally, even St. Pierre, like he like kind of heard the conversation. He was like, that was good, man. He's like, you did well. He's like, that was very natural and smooth and flowy. But yeah, no, I actually like it when we talked to that girl last night. He was like, I got you, bro.
Good friend.
It is a good friend. It was I kind of like the tactic, like, if you don't, I will.
Yeah, that's an awesome move.
I was like, I have to talk to her. No, I'm talking to her. All right.
I would just grind your gears.
But I was put in a trance. She put me in a freaking trance. It was crazy.
Any singers out there? Anyone? Please reach out to Jack. Anyway.
Yeah, that was.
Hey, I think if you can find your trance, whether it's a woman or a song or a girl or work.
Whether it's a woman or a girl or a female.
Or XX or, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think the girls, do we have Ys?
I think we have Ys. I don't know. Male chromosome. Let's look this up. So, yeah. I think it has to do, or contains, let's see. Presence of the Y chromosome is crucial for male development as it contains genes that trigger the formation of male characteristics. So probably testosterone and whatnot.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
There you go. So we have the Y. I was right. The double X.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
Anyway.
But yeah, you were talking about things I need to cut out. I'm not going to be taking weekend trips for the next little bit because it cost some money, which I was new going in, which was fine.
Yep.
So yeah, I would say stay focused up. Here's the big thing. What I've really resonated with you is that you're like, acting needs to be the thing and everything else needs to be working towards that. I have been getting to a place where I've been putting this new job turn into like that extracurricular that I do on the weekends.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been something I need to refocus, because you know what, if I keep operating how I am.
Yeah. I think I listen to certain YouTube videos and podcasts so much, because they're just, I haven't found other people. I haven't found that group, you know, you kind of find in your group
people
that consistently remind you of that. And I think that's such a great thing about the internet, is like, if you use it for the right reasons, it can reset you or like show you.
Definitely.
What to feel and when you're feeling it.
Here's what I also know I need to do. Like, I need to like really hone in on a network of actors who have the drive. And I'm just like still trying to meet that. I've met a couple that I need to reach out to and hone in on, but I want a group of people who are also ballers and going for it and have similar goals and aspirations that I do. Cause like you and I are like, I have you as just an in general person to have conversations like this with, but you're not trying to be an actor. So I would.
Yep. I completely agree. And I think, you know, create your group. If you can't find it, make
yeah,
it.
Go ahead.
That's kind of where I'm at, because I don't know. People our age, it's tough to come in contact with them. Like it really is. I've been looking, and I think a lot of people I've maybe scratched the surface with, it's like they are, but they don't know what the amount of work that it requires. And they just don't hold up their end or something like that. So I think it's a lot of my friends right now today are actually, you know, upper 20s or 30s. So it's a little easier to have that, because in a way that their mindset right now is where we're at, or closer to where we're at than what another 23-year-old would be, which is difficult.
Yeah. But I also don't think we're just two like crazy outliers. I think there's actually, I know there's people that are working harder than me that are our age. I'm working hard, I would say, on the grand spectrum of how hard are people work.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying the person you're describing. So the person who is driven, ambitious, is committed, and is focusing on the same industry. That's hard. I think I agree. I think there are more ambitious, like-minded people our age, but it might not be actors. And that's hard to find.
I agree.
At least that I found. Because
they got to be out there, though, right? Because
here's the thing, and I think you kind of need to leverage a little bit of social media for it. Mm-hmm. It's like, one, if they truly are focused, it's going to be way harder to meet them.
Like, that's true. Yeah.
I haven't really met anyone, because I've been focused, and I haven't – something I want to be better about is, like, putting myself out there. Like, I've kind of just been in a bubble, which has consisted of these four walls which kind of sucks sometimes, but like it's hard to find people when you're also not out there yet. Finding those, it's like finding a hedgehog in the groundhog in its groundhog hole. Like, it only comes out once and you got to see it when it does.
Right. So, right.
I think creating the community for those people to come out and join is probably pretty beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, it's also on me too. Like, I need to put myself out there and look for like,
I hear you. All right. Well, so give me two or three things that you're saying no to. And it doesn't have to be something that's actively taking up
my day mental
capacity. But if it does come up, you know, it's one of the things like I have to say no to that.
Or what about like,
delay. Yeah. You have to say no at the present moment or at this point in time, this period of your life.
I need to chill with YouTube. It's taking up a lot of my time. And sometimes watching videos are beneficial, keeps me in the loop, keeps me motivated in a way. But then it starts to turn into I'm just watching junk.
Doom scrolling.
Yeah, exactly. And all that stuff. And videos that are I'm just watching for like entertainment beats rather than educational or stuff like that. So I need to chill with YouTube. I actually need to like find a way if there's like and I'm sure there's an app for this or it's already built into the iPhones of like, hey, after 2 hours or after 45 minutes on this app or give me.
If you have the app, you can go and feel free to text me because I do the same thing. It's like there's a always allow section on in your settings and you can turn it on or off or set limits for it on certain apps. Like, well, I used to have it for Instagram and then I would find myself like saying, oh, like 15 more minutes. And I was like, fuck it, this isn't working. So I just deleted it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's really funny.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you consciously find yourself doing it, it's like, crap. Like, why am I doing this? And it's like, because I've done it too. And I also find it difficult to get out of that rut sometimes where it's like you're scrolling and you're like, oh, I know I'm scrolling. Like, I shouldn't do this, but this is.
That you keep doing it. Yeah.
So it's like just 5 more minutes, and then 5 more minutes turns into 30, and you're like, fuck.
I have so been there.
Did it again.
That's, dude, that's almost like what makes me upset at myself sometimes. It's because like I am self-aware enough to recognize the behavior and not approve of the behavior, like of being on YouTube and doing reels and shorts for a long time. And I also have that thing. It's like, hey, you've been doing it a while. You should stop. This is no longer productive. Almost like I'm a problem.
I love that. I'm smarter than the dummies who doom scroll, yet
I'm still here. I am doing it. Yeah, exactly. Because like, there's some people who are doing it. You're like, aren't even thinking it's a problem.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is normal.
But for me, I'm like. And that's how addictive it is, right? Because like, I even know that like I shouldn't be doing it all like for a long time, and I still do it for a long time. I understand the concept.
Yeah, how do we define that, and then how do we get out of that? Because I've done the same thing too, and that's why I just delete the apps because I'm like,
you're an app deleter. Okay,
I get so pissed off at myself,
which I heard is a good method.
Yeah, it works if you don't have access to it.
Yeah, it does the trick.
I run into the same thing. Like sometimes if I have the ability to search it online, it's like I'll end up just using it there. And I think, you know, it speaks to the addictiveness of the whatever algorithm. And one thing I heard recently that has started to help me, and I'm still working on it, is behavioral psychology is diffusing your actions from your thoughts. So just like sitting with the thought for sitting with it and not doing anything with it for like 2 to 5 minutes. And a good example is food. We do not need to eat as much as the American diet typically is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows this, yet we still just put food in our mouth. And oftentimes we are bored and we will start to eat just because we're bored, and we justify it by saying we're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, are you really hungry or are you just bored? Can you diffuse the thought of being hungry from the mm-hmm. action of putting food in your mouth? Yeah. And like, for me, that's something that's helped is like, just because you think something doesn't mean it's true, which hard to do again, because you have to have the conscious wherewithal that you actually are thinking that and it doesn't mean it's true.
So you're saying sometimes when people think they're hungry, well, they are, but they're suck it up and then get used.
No, I genuinely think like sometimes when people think they're hungry,
they're not even hungry.
They're not hungry. Like you, like hunger is triggered by an emptiness in the stomach. So,
okay.
Like, one of the best, like you wake up, some people wake up and think they're hungry. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know the stats on this, but I'd say that, you know, 70-80% of people aren't actually hungry when they wake up. It's more they're thirsty. So it's like,
yeah. Oh, that's yeah.
Chug 8 ounces of water before you eat anything. And then, you know, figure out, all right, do I still actually have that feeling in my stomach? Like I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. Or another alternative is you're just addicted to sugar or glucose. Right. That's in carbs.
Yeah.
It's like you're not actually hungry. You're just craving.
You're just a drug addict.
Yeah. You're just a crackhead.
Sugar-holic. Yeah.
But yeah, like you definitely don't need to eat 3 times a day and the amount of food that we eat. It is not required. It's something that's been programmed into us based on like what our society tells us and then what we're eating.
Gotcha.
But similar thing, you can apply it to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, if you're scrolling. It's like, okay, I have this urge. You know that urge when you're not doing anything, but you want to pick up your phone?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, I'm bored, so I have the urge to, you know, occupy my hands with something.
Right.
Instead of doing that, like, let me just sit here for 2 minutes, just be bored. And if I still think I'm craving entertainment, I want to do it, and I think it's good for me, then I can do it. But if not, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I picking up my phone and just scrolling? So that's something I'm working on, or at least a framework that has been beneficial for me. So if it helps you or helps anyone else.
I like that framework a lot. It just helps you get out of your head a little bit too, that, you know, kind of lets you overthink like those urges that we have, like to be on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok a lot. It kind of helps you get out of that. Like, I like this.
Little devil on your left shoulder.
Right. Exactly.
One other thing I think that will help a lot, just I've experienced it, is it's not just going to be easy just putting it 2 minutes. Like, it's a muscle you're going to have to actually work on. Me thinking that I want to pick up my phone and scroll, but not scrolling, I'm going to feel that itch of like, I really want to pick it up.
Right.
Because it's an addiction. Actually, what's the definition of addiction?
Let's find the dictionary definition of addiction. I don't know. I'm going to guess, or at least addiction.
That's pretty good. Yeah. It's a chronic condition characterized by a compulsive need to engage in a particular behavior or use a substance despite harmful consequences. Yep. All that stuff, eating, overeating, eating bad things, scrolling, that's all predicated in stuff that's ultimately not good for you. And actually, you know what? I'll define that differently. It's not necessarily not good for you, but it depends on what your situation or what your ideal outcome is. For us, it's not good because it distracts from what our overall goal is. Like, if you want to be an actor, or I want to be be productive on a day-to-day basis in business, eating sugary food or doom scrolling is not conducive for that.
Right.
However, if you want to be a professional eater and be overweight, then yeah, sure.
If you want to be a professional loser,
eater. Like consuming food.
Oh my god, I want to sit on a couch every day and watch TV and eat all I want, dude. Imagine that was your aspiration in life.
Yeah,
You can do that in two seconds. You need to buy a couch and a TV.
I said professional eater. I'm just making sure you heard that.
I heard you. I heard you. I heard you.
Oh, man, you can be a professional loser.
What if you could be? I mean, I guess if you just find a job that can cover your expenses and...
I'm sure people would donate for that or something. Have you seen those odd jobs? It's like people are professional snugglers or dates.
That disgusts me. Actually, that just made me want to convulse. A professional snuggler.
Uh-huh. You can hire them to snuggle.
Oh my god. I like
there's another one I've seen before. It's like a professional friend that doesn't talk. Like they just come out to eat with you and just sit there. So you're a companion.
That's so sad. I feel that's actually so sad.
Yet they exist.
Dude, anytime I hear someone...
No. I concur. Well, anyway, how do we want to start to wrap this up? Yeah.
And sign off.
We've definitely been a little sparse just because I think the exact topic of... what we discussed today is we had a bunch of things pulling our direction in a bunch of different ways, and we lost track of why we do this and what made this so important to us in recording every other week. And as always, these episodes help. that's one of those things where you need to, for us, it's diffusing our thoughts from our actions. Like, we could postpone this, but we should really do this.
Yeah. I've been off my game. For sure, and probably because I have been worried and thinking about everything we just talked about. So there's been that. And also, it's definitely, if there's any, I don't think anything we want to stop doing anytime soon. I think we're about to get back on schedule with our biweekly schedule. I want to get back in just the motion of just doing these episodes because I enjoy them, and I know we do have some listeners. Not a ton, but we do have some. So for those of you that have been wondering what's up, we apologize. We fell off our schedule a little bit. We plan on being back on it. Stick with the biweekly. There was a point a while ago that we thought we could handle moving to weekly. We were incorrect.
We're not there yet.
I want to keep it going. As you know, we don't need to put all of our time. I feel like your thoughts on it, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is more of a 20-year plan.
Yeah,
for me, if this starts making money, so
I don't. Really That's what I was that. Thinking. I mean, you hop in 100 episodes. Joe Rogan didn't even become a recognizable name until he was over 1,000 in.
Yeah, it's a long, it's a long,
it's a long term thing. But it's fun. I love doing this with you, man. We're gonna keep doing it. And for those of you that have stuck with us, thank you. We appreciate it.
I agree.
We love you guys for that. If you got any, if you're stressed out or have anxiety, if you want to reach out about it, feel free. Especially if you know who we are. I'm always happy to connect with somebody on that. Always feel free to reach out if you enjoy. Please do so.
100%. Thank you guys for listening. Feel free to follow us on any socials and check out the website.
Yep.
Peace.